Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keen on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast with me, Jenny from the blockchain, and my co-host, Michael Keen. Today, we have a Sunday recap for you guys, and we are going to talk about what has happened in the past week. Plus, Michael has some stuff to share with us in relation to what he's working on in Web3 as well. So, happy Sunday, Michael.
Yeah. Happy Sunday, Jenny. What's going on?
You wrote in the notes something.
Well, I wrote in the notes that I went to Las Vegas for the licensing show, sports and licensing show. I'll talk all about that for sure. And I'll talk about whatever, but I didn't necessarily say I was talking about
Ohio State.
But I will talk about it. I don't mind. I'm very excited to talk about it. I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's a lot of work. I've actually been spending all day working on kind of a timeline for everybody and trying to really piece everything together. There's a lot going on. We have a lot of large ambitions. So
nice.
Yep. Yeah. But so this past week, the reason we didn't actually put out a recap episode last week is because I was in Vegas Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for the sports licensing and tailgate conference, which was pretty cool. So basically what it is all of the brands and companies and artists that have official licensing for college teams or pro teams set up these big booths with all their products, trying to get, you know, more sales, get into more stores, get more teams to get their license for them. And then there's representatives from all the teams and the colleges walking around, checking out all the merchandise. What do we want to bring into our stores? What can we sell? So there's a lot going on there. I mean, it was huge. It was at the Las Vegas Convention Center. The Las Vegas Convention Center had two conferences going on at the same time. This one and like a cement workers conference. So it was like all this, like these like cement dudes, workers. Like, yeah, we're walking around in like overalls. And the conference I was at was extremely web two, extremely old school, like a lot of the same products. There was some new stuff, but it was a lot of the same products. A lot of the people I talked to, they didn't even know, you know, what we were talking about. The guys I was with didn't even know how to describe what we were doing to the people. These people are all about, like, what's the minimum? How many are we going to sell? Like how cheap can we get it? It's just all like, I got them for $350, you know, like, It's all about getting the cost down, quick sales, quick hits, and then moving on to the next thing. And we're trying to build, you know, a whole ecosystem of something that's sustainable and something really cool, akin to the NFT projects we've seen, but using, you know, that model with a gigantic already existing fan base.
See, that is talking about your...
Well, you nudged me into it, and I'm happy to talk about it. But that's the vision kind of at that there.
Well, that's interesting. You guys were kind of the only like Web3 people there.
Yeah, we were just walking around talking to everybody. I mean, there was a handful of people I didn't talk to every single person. There was a couple thousand people there, but there was this one company. I think they're called Octane 5 or Octane something, and they do a lot of the tags, like the hang tags. If you're selling NFL merch, you can use their hang tags for the QR codes and everything ties back, whatever it is. And they had this, I don't know what you would call him, a developer who is really, really smart. And he built this program where anybody could take any design they have for one team and put it into his machine, and it would make that design for every team. It would change the logos, the year established, the skyline, whatever it needed to change. it would do it and it would make that same product. And it would, he like saved all these people all this time, but they were really smart. And a couple of them kind of got it. And one of the young guys that worked there actually came running up to me at the after event and was like, I heard you have an NFT podcast. And like, he wanted it. And I gave him the podcast.
Might be listening right now.
That'd be, yeah. If you're listening, bro, hit me up at NFTicket on Twitter. Send me a DM. Cause that was right. You work for Octane. If you listen to this, that'd be awesome. You had a lot of energy. That was pretty cool. I really liked that company. They were the smartest people that I met there. Also came across, I made a really good contact at Mitchell and Ness. You know Mitchell and Ness?
Can't say I do.
No, that's okay. Mitchell and Ness is a brand in Philadelphia. They were like the ones that first started having all those throwback jerseys. I'd say this is probably in the mid-90s. Like they started making real high quality old school throwback jerseys. Like Jay-Z started wearing them and all the rappers started wearing them. And now they're just a gigantic, gigantic brand that makes, you know, really super high quality stuff like $300 jerseys and all kinds of real nice stuff. But Mitchell made a real good connection there. Talk to a lot of like cool people like that, cool brands. I love the NIL stuff. That's revolutionary. That's one thing that is revolutionary there that's going on. Like name, image, and likeness over the last 2 years. So over the last 2 years, college players are finally allowed to make money on themselves, autographs, endorsements, anything they want to do, they're allowed to do it. You know, selling cards, selling jerseys, selling t-shirts for the first time ever in the last 2 years. So college football has been going on for 125 years, 150 years. And they in the past, if a player took a free lunch, they would get kicked off the team and ineligible to play up until 2 years ago. It was really criminal, honestly. It was horrible that it went on like that, but that was the way college sports was. Now, there were a lot of people getting paid like under the table, behind the scenes, people get caught, you know, all that stuff. It's silly. But now it's legal for you to make money. So what you're worth, you are able to capitalize. And I love those opportunities for student athletes.
Yeah. Isn't college, some college sports, I know college football is like really popular. It's like,
oh yeah.
They have a big fan base.
Enormously. Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, that's understating it. That's definitely understanding. College football, I mean, is ginormous. There's, you know, hundreds of schools. And if you're talking about like Alabama, LSU, all those Southern teams are just massive. Where'd you go to school? Did you go to college or no?
Yeah, I went to ASU, Arizona State.
I mean, they have a popular football team. Not like one of the gigantic majors, but they have a popular football team.
Yeah.
No?
I don't know. I forget the name of the football team.
The Sun Devils.
Sun Devils, yeah.
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 You were there when Herm Edwards was the head coach, probably. He was an Eagle back in the day. Herm Edwards. I wouldn't imagine you would.
I went to, so I did community college for my first 2 years, and then I did ASU for the second 2 years to get my bachelor's of science in psychology. And I think, I want to say I graduated December 2017. So, yeah, I don't know if that's the years your person was there, but.
I don't remember his exact years. That might have been a little after him, but I'm not sure my person. I went to Penn State. You know that, right? I've talked about Penn State before, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Nice. All right. So what's happening in NFTs this week? So I did have a great trip. There's all kinds of stuff. One other thing that I do want to talk about is the day I flew out there was a day that Steve's book came out, who we just had on last week, the Everything Token. And speaking of the Everything Token, Gordon Gauner went out, bought 100. All kinds of people are supporting Steve.
Everyone's been tweeting about it. Yeah.
Really, really well. But I went out there. I listened to it on the flight, and I had a lot of wisdom to be able to talk to people. It was really cool. That's highly suggested reading, listening to. I listened to it on 1.5 speed. Both of those guys are brilliant. Really cool stuff. Although I must say, Scott said that the Ape Fest at Pier 17 was in Brooklyn, which was actually in Manhattan. Gigantic oversight. I'm joking. But that did happen. What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, Steve stayed true to his word, and he did send us a copy of the book, and he, you know, wrote a little something. I want to read it. Like, I'm not an audiobook person, so I want to read it. Mm. I'm reading a book right now. I'm almost done with it, but once I finish, I'm going to read that. And yeah, I'm excited to dive into it.
I need to look a little harder because I know Andy got the copy, and I'm not sure I got my signed copy.
Oh, really?
But I'm not surprised. Also, do you know, you probably know, you got shouted out in the book.
No, did I?
And your sister.
You're lying.
I'm not lying. In the acknowledgments.
Really?
100%.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
You got to fight. Yeah, yeah. And of course, chopped liver Mike Keen once again. I don't get a signed copy. I get left out of the acknowledgments. Okay. I've been listening to Coffee with Captain every day for like 6 years.
Are you sure you didn't get a signed copy?
I got to ask around. I think I would have been in Las Vegas when it showed up, but nobody told me about it.
Okay. Yeah. Ask around. If not, we can hit him up and I'm sure he'll send if he accidentally.
No.
Great. This is just adding to your chopped liver list.
It's unbelievable at this point.
Oh man.
You got to find your acknowledgement in the book. It's very nice.
Yeah. Well, now I'm like,
I know.
That's great. Now I'm very excited.
Yeah. 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 So, okay. Project Overpass, Pudgy Penguins, Luke and Nets. Are you hip to it?
Project Overpass. No, actually, yes, yes, yes. I didn't know it was called that. But yes, I'm
right.
Reading about it right now. Yes, I did hear about that. Pretty
major. They've been hinting. It is going to be major. I think they've been hinting at it for a while. So it's designed to simplify NFT licensing processes, allowing companies to directly license IP from holders. So basically, it's starting off with the Pudgies, the Lil Pudgies, and Bored Apes. And if you have one, you can go to their Project Overpass, I assume connect your wallet, and opt in your NFT, and then it becomes available in there. I'm not sure what the options are. If you should do with your little, right? Don't you have a little Pudgy?
I did. I sold it.
You sold it? You sold it. It's probably smart because it came down a little bit.
Well, it went all the way up to what, 1.8-ish?
Eight or now something, it's at
1.5. And I'm like, my God, I should get another one, but I don't have the liquid to do that.
Yeah.
Because I had sold, actually, I think a couple weeks ago I said, a month ago I bought a second Doodles. Well, I ended up selling it, of course, mm-hmm. right before Zagabond goes and buys one. And so then, you know, pumps even more.
Is that why it pumped? Because Zagabond bought one?
Well, I think it was a chain of a few things, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then actually last night I had put in a bid and I ended up getting a second one again. So yeah, so now I don't have the money to buy another little Pudgy, but yeah, I have another Doodle again. Let's see how long I keep it.
I hear that. Okay, so you did get a second.
Oh yeah. Okay, so no, back to the
okay, please.
Back to the Overpass.
Project Overpass. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So I also heard that, and you can let me know if this is true or not, that people would directly get money sent to their wallet instead of having to KYC.
Yeah, I think it's like automatic. I as long as that's legal. I mean, I didn't hear that part of it, but that's the way to do it.
I mean trust, that's trustless. Massive. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is massive. And I don't think that projects will have to even approve them to add, right? Like if they want to say, we want to add, you know, Sappy Seals, people can just come and attach their Sappy Seals. Like, I don't think Sappy Seals has anything to say about it unless they're trying to use the logo. I don't see any projects not wanting to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I see now the opportunities on there and it's pretty cool. I mean, right now there's just the opportunity to be in the Pudgy Toys Chapter 2.
Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Not everybody that connects is going to make $1 million because not everybody's thing is going to get chosen. And even if it is, maybe it's like a real low one, but some of them are going to do well. There's going to be some cool stories and then it's going to grow. Mm-hmm. Like I also tried to think about what their companies will use it. So say you're like, what company are you going to be like, let me snag somebody's Bored Ape for like a quick advertisement, I guess. Or like, maybe I want to do a Bored Ape pizza box if I'm a pizza shop, you know, and I could find a cool Bored Ape that has pizza in his mouth and license you out to make 5,000 boxes and do some kind of promo. Like that's an, I guess, right?
Yeah. 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 I mean, the Bored Ape has been the project that's really the holders have been licensing their IP the most.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see Bored and Hungry, the food truck, you see people doing, what's the guy with the chocolates?
Yeah, but a lot of them, they're not. Well, he's, the Friends chocolates. That one is licensing because he's taking like everybody's different one. But a lot of them are just, they're starting their own businesses with the IP as well.
Right, right.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. The Bored Ape is the one that's done that the most. And Pudgy's is going to start. They have the IP. I guess apparently they do have the IP, right? I didn't know. Because there hasn't been a lot of like Pudgy products done by the.
Yeah, by individual holders. Yeah, you haven't really seen that yet. I mean, Pudgy's hasn't really been popping off for all that long. Like, you know, and.
Right, true. But, yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's, I think now people are realizing, oh, wow, this is actually, you know, something that's becoming. I think Pudgy's are going to flip Bored Apes personally eventually, soon, maybe.
Yeah.
But
that was the, about a week ago. That felt like an inevitability. That's what everybody was saying.
Like 19.
Yeah. Right. All the smart people were like, it's coming any day now.
And Bored Apes were like 24 and it was like so close, you know, and now Pudgy's, I think right now I'm looking at,
I think it's like 15 or something. I think there was some kind of like loans taken away or so. There was something weird. It's like, I don't, there's a lot of manipulation when you have a 10,000 piece collection. You can really manipulate that thing.
Yeah. And I think I saw that some big holder that had bought, you know, a month or so back had recently like sold all theirs. And so that kind of, you know, plummets the floor a bit, but yeah, they're doing good. And let me see. I predict in a few months, this is my prediction, in a few months that they'll flip Bored Apes.
In a few months that they'll flip. Is that kind of like your prediction of 10K ETH by the end of 2021?
Yeah. that one didn't age well. Let's see how well this ages.
All
right. I'll say 3 months. Do you think we'll even remember to revisit this in 3 months?
Yeah, I will absolutely remember
will
to
you?
Revisit
okay.
this. Yeah, sure.
All right.
Well, actually, you know what? Here we go.
I won't.
Remind me in 3 months that Jenny said Pudgy's will flip the apes.
Okay, yeah.
Here's
now
your
it's
reminder.
Official. It's
here's
official reminder. Now.
In 3 months. I have reminders. I've done like, if I've made bets with people in like a 5-year bet, I'm like, remind me in 5 years. That,
no way.
Yeah. And they come up every now and then. Like your phone's your phone. You know what I mean?
That's crazy. But do you have any Pudgy predictions?
I believe that, I mean, everything Luke is doing right now is turning to gold. You know, everything he touches is awesome. I wouldn't be surprised by anything. Floor price is kind of hard to predict, like, because the success of the company doesn't necessarily equate to the
success. It's like the hype. It's like, you know,
yeah,
people really.
Totally. It's a like, real collectible in that case.
Yeah.
Like, so it's hard to predict. I mean, I don't know what could happen. Like if there's any kind of controversy, you know what I mean? Sometimes people in the space are like so huge and the number one person and they kind of lose. Like you remember somebody like
Luke is due for a scandal.
Well, he actually had a couple scandals, like because he was part of projects before Pudgy. And he's just very honest about it and talks about it and said this has been out there before. Like,
yeah,
here we go to talk about it again. And as long as you're honest, man, I think honesty goes so far.
That's true.
It really does. One of the, we were talking about how the wallets go up and down. One of the largest wallets, who was talking about them? There's two gigantic wallets on Blur that control like 60% of the loans or the whatever it was. And one of them was CBB0FE. That's what it is on Twitter, at CBB0FE. And I actually DM'd that account. And I was like, hey, what's up? Maybe you want to come on and talk about, you know, that kind of economic side of it. Did you find them? It says liquidity provider, DeFi enjoyer. So basically, they were like, oh, well, we're not doing any appearances right now, but what's your podcast? I'll listen to it. Send me a couple good episodes. And I sent them our last recap and Steve's episode. And just, they said they'll listen to it.
Nice.
That's pretty good. Yeah. But. you know, tried to reach out to someone. I saw them that they were on Twitter and figured I'd reach out to someone different, you know?
Yeah, it's time to get some traders on. I actually,
because that's like a hardcore trader, you know, that's like a big money. Yeah.
You know, EB7, Eric?
EB7. I know the name. Let me go look at the account.
Okay. I reached out to him to come on, but he has not gotten back to me. But he's a really big trader, and he recently was
he's from Venezuela. I'll try and message him too.
He's not a fan of doodles, but he and he's big into pudgies, but he recently bought a bunch of doodles and he thinks that they're gonna go up to like 3.5 floor. And, but he's a pretty big
whale. I'll send a message too. That would be cool. That'd be really cool. Co-founder to OTC Network. I flip NFTs for a living from 4 ETH to 1,100 plus. No paid promos. He's from Venezuela. We could have a good talk about Venezuela. you know, I was there in 1998 when Hugo Chavez was elected.
Oh, yeah. You've said that before. Yeah.
Yep. And that was pretty crazy time to be there.
Yeah. And speaking of, we haven't talked about this yet. But my sister, if you guys know Steph Sudo, she, I guess 2 weeks ago, put in her 2 weeks at Cryptoys, and we actually interviewed her on the show about Cryptoys a while back. And it was her last day a few days ago. And so she's no longer with Cryptoys and she's actually traveling around. And, you know, she doesn't really know what she's going to do next. Not sure if she's going to work in Web3 or pivot to something else. But yeah, she hasn't seen her tweet on Twitter about it. I guess that's some.
I think that is the coolest thing. And I think it's awesome that she's going to travel and go into cool places. Already, I've heard some cool places that she's headed. I love for young people that don't have anything tying them down. Travel. It's not expensive, it's accessible. You can go, you can do it. I think it's the best. I think she's going to do awesome. I think she's going to come back a better person and happier and crush it, whatever she does. People are going to be waiting to hire her when she comes back.
Wow, that's nice. Yeah, she's very extroverted and she already is like, she's such an extrovert. Like she's only been where she's at. I don't know if she said where she's going, so I'm not going to say, but she's only been, you know, there for a few days and she already has made a bunch of friends and, you know, just hanging out with new people every day and because she hates doing things alone. So she went to solo travel, but really she's, you know.
That's the way it works. That's the way you always meet people. You could, anybody can go solo travel. You always meet people, especially if you're staying in hostels. Like,
she's staying at a hostel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll meet friends that you'll have the rest of your life. Like, especially now with social media. When I started traveling, you cross paths with people. You'll never see, there's no way to, you know, like, what are you going to write your address down and send them a letter? Like, you know what I mean?
Cell phones weren't even a thing back then, right?
No, when I got my first cell phone in 2001. And I was in South America in 1998 for the entire summer with absolutely no cell phones. My mom was happy when I came home, you know, like she didn't, you know.
I mean, I guess email.
You
said
postcards. Email was the thing, but to go to, it was not easy to find. I mean, it was easy to find internet. You go to an internet cafe and you got to pay the money to like log into their computer for like a half hour. And it would take a long time just to type in your email, like, just to be like, I'm okay. You know what I mean? So we weren't really rushing to do that. And those places are weird. The internet cafes. It's usually on like the third floor of a building or something.
I don't know if I've been to one.
Internet cafe. They don't even have them anymore. Why would it be a thing? Everyone's got the internet on
Internet's everywhere.
An internet cafe.
I mean, I'm just imagining like a coffee shop with internet, but not.
No, they had big, giant desktop computers set up. It would be like a row of like 15 with like big, huge monitors. Yeah.
It's kind of like the libraries used to be like that, like with the computers. And I mean, probably still are like that, but.
Yeah, they have computers in the library. But now everyone's got cell phones, which is a very powerful computer right in your hand.
Yeah.
That's the best thing. That's the best thing about GPT. You can do everything right on your phone with ChatGPT. It's like I could be sitting watching my son's soccer game, like doing insane shit with ChatGPT. I love that.
So true. Yeah. So true. I was gonna say I was thinking about cell phones when you were bringing it up, and I got my first cell phone, I think, in 2014. Like, I was in college, and mind you, in sixth grade, people had cell phones. Like, I was so late to the cell phone game. It was actually kind of crazy, but and people were like, "How did you survive without a cell phone?" But I had an iPod, and if I had Wi-Fi, I could text. So
okay, with an iPod, yeah, I know what you mean. If you're on Wi-Fi, that's funny.
And I didn't really go places, so it's not like I mean, if I went somewhere, my mom wasn't like super protective. She was just like, "All right, you know."
She knew you were. Yeah, she knew you were gonna be all right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun. See you when you get back, I guess. Nice. Yeah, my first one was in 01, which was the year, my final year at Penn State. It's like I was at Penn State for 3 years. My mom would have to call my dorm and like leave a message. Like, and I remember actually, like, we'd all be sitting around in the dorm room and like the phone would ring and she'd, "Hi, Mike, it's mom. Like, give me a call." And everybody would be laughing at me.
Oh my gosh, it's just on speaker for everyone.
Right.
That's
me. So let's go back. Let's switch back to NFTs. I actually want to give a shout out to a superstar who dropped an NFT collection and made good on some stuff and made some people's, you know, life, gave them lifetime memories. So Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the top soccer players of all time, debatable. I think we're a Messi household down here. My son's a big Messi fan, but Cristiano Ronaldo, pretty awesome soccer player. He put out an NFT project on Binance. I don't know too much of the details. I actually went to Binance's site and tried to like look it up and learn about it. That is a horrible interface. I don't know what they're doing. If you work for Binance, go look at Magic Eden's. It is 50 times better.
I mean, Binance is just, I didn't even know Binance was into NFTs. I thought they were only into crypto. So that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have like an NFT platform. I saw all the ETH stuff is on there. I don't even know. Nobody uses it.
It's like Coinbase, where it's like they decided to launch an NFT platform.
Right. That's exactly right. And the one that won was Blur, who made it completely degen and let people farm for points, and everybody used it.
Oh, and did you see? I didn't see OpenSea like officially saying this, but there's been a rumor that OpenSea is like open to being acquired.
Yep. So it was, but then Devin Fisner like tweeted out, right? He's like, "Well, it's not exactly." That quote was taken a little bit out of context. Something like, "OpenSea is open to acquisitions, even possibly including their own," or something like that. It was a little more vague, but I think what that means is there's a hint out there, like make an offer. I think that's like a, like make an offer. We're not actively selling, but.
Right. You know they're not actively seeking like, it, but hey, if somebody comes with a good deal, then they might be down.
Can I give you a prediction who's going to buy it?
Blur? I mean, who?
No. Well, I mean, my guess was going to be Mark Cuban.
What the?
I don't know.
What does he know about running an NFT marketplace?
What's he know about anything? He tried. He just sold the Mavericks. He loves NFTs. He hasn't gotten it right yet. He's been chased out with that.
That seems pretty far fetched, to be honest. That seems like a stretch.
Oh, if that happens, I will be so happy. We will play this back.
Yeah, we're gonna replay this. You'd be like, "Yo, really? You thought that was a stretch? Well, I'm right." But until then,
it's a stretch. Okay, who should buy it? Who could? Somebody put a tweet out. It might have been your favorite, Beanie. I think it was Beanie who said, "It's pretty crazy that somebody can buy OpenSea, drop a token, and make their money back pretty much immediately."
Oh, yeah. And I did see. Was it Wale? What if
Gary Vee should take it over?
Do you know Wale Swoot?
Yeah, cool. I know. It's Whale.
Oh my God! Why am I saying Wale when it's Well, there's no age. That's why I said, well, okay, yeah, whales. Like they're, like so they're they made an offer for what? $6.9 million to buy OpenSea. I doubt OpenSea would take that offer, but they did.
$6.9 million. They were valued at like how many billions?
I know. I think that's why he tweeted out because he knew they wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it seems like a lot of money, but not to acquire a marketplace that has been around.
No, I mean, if somebody came on and got the energy back going, OpenSea was used for a long time. Like, I don't even go on there. What do I go on there for? I have the bookmark on my phone. If I want quick access to just the image of my NFTs, I click on that. That's the only time I go to OpenSea.
Yeah.
If like that's literally, I don't use it on my computer. Unless something's not on Blur, I'll probably go look on OpenSea if it's not on Blur.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought I would kind of always use OpenSea, and yeah, I use Blur 90% of the time, but I do sometimes check OpenSea. Yep. It's just
right. No, Blur's got them all. I mean, you're crazy if you're buying right off of OpenSea because you might be missing a better deal.
For sure. Prices are definitely cheaper on Blur. Blur shows both. Blur shows.
Yeah. Shows everything on OpenSea. OpenSea
doesn't do that. Yeah.
No, of course not.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. It's easier to see. Like, I really like the collections tab on Blur that just kind of shows all the collections, the floor price, you know, the percent that they've changed in the past day, seven days. It's nice. They've really done a good job.
The data is really good. The data is really good. However, they got rid of the 30-day price change, and I'm not happy. I got a message Pac-Man about that.
I'm not happy.
What is going on with that?
Yeah.
It's a nice metric to have in there.
Yeah, 30-day. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Come on, Pac-Man.
But you know what? And I also will say that the charts, like, I wish they went back further. Because if you click on the collection, you can only see 30 days.
That's another huge. Yeah, it needs to go back all time. It needs to be all time.
Even if it was just 3 months, would be fine. But it's like, also sometimes the charts don't work. And it's like, you know, I'll click 7-day, 30-day. And it's just like stuck on only showing me like 20 days or something. I don't know. But anyways.
Yeah, not perfect.
We're just complaining about Blur right now. But no, besides that, Blur is great.
Yeah, let me finish my shout out to Cristiano Ronaldo here, because we know that we could name countless athletes who have dropped projects and have forgotten about them. LaMelo Ball, and lots of different results. But Cristiano Ronaldo made good on a promise that the holders of his 5 rarest NFTs got a full day of training with him in Lisbon, Portugal. The images looked awesome. The players, all the people had fun. I mean, that's an experience of a lifetime for those people. And that's kind of what NFTs is about. Like, he rewarded, I don't know how many they sold, how much money he made, but I just think that is really cool. And hopefully they continue to do little things like that. That's so easy for him. If he's in Lisbon training already, like, that's what I think about these things. It's so easy to make somebody, like, you know, to do something that nice for people.
Yeah, to make your holders day and to provide actual utility. Right. And it's if all they're doing is watching, that doesn't affect you at all. I mean, that's pretty great.
Yeah, no doubt. Animoca announced plans for the Mocha token, which people seem to be excited about, sending all the Mochaverse NFTs up. I don't get all these different tokens. How do we need 10? I mean, some of them are going to work, but why do we need so many tokens?
We definitely don't need so many tokens, but you know, people love their tokens and they love, the shitcoin craze. When that was happening, it's just so insane because people will put all of their money into the most ridiculous things just for the chance that it'll.
I'm starting to look at some of these things that people are saying, like, maybe I should start farming that, like, you know, but no, it's not my world. I got to work on what I know how to do.
That stuff,
it's so weird. I don't, I'd make a move if I thought I could, but it's just so weird. But have you heard of this other thing called Berra Chain?
Berra Chain, no.
Yeah. So if you go to Blur, are you on Blur right now?
Yes.
So collections and look at Baby Bears, Bit Bears, Band Bears, Boo Bears. You see all that in the top 20?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all the same thing. It's some kind of layer one barrachine. The Band Bears are funny. If you click on the Band Bears, it's all like there's a Slipknot one, an Isley Brothers, a Roy Orbison, Rihanna, Alicia Keys, Perfect Circle, Carly Simon, ZZ Top.
They are naming them actually that?
Yes, Mumford and Sons. I know. I thought the same thing. I thought the same exact thing. The Bit Bears are like, they're like real pixelated. They all have
bombs. Never even seen these on Twitter.
No, me neither. And this started popping up a few days ago. So I kind of look in when things start hitting the thing. And I mean, look at the floor on one of them is, which one? The Baby Bears is 16. The Boo Bears is 33. Not a ton of volume, but they're also small collections.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Boo Bears is 271 of them. But I think people are expecting this this big airdrop. So Barrachine, if you go to their Twitter, here's what it says about them. And you tell me if you understand this because this is outside of my pay grade. It's an EVM equivalent L1 built on the Cosmos SDK and powered by proof of liquidity backed by Polychain and Hack_VC. There was also an $800,000 sweep of those NFTs a few days ago.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Is it on the Crypto Slam charts?
Let's see. I haven't looked actually. No, it is not at all.
Hmm.
Yep. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that, do you know what any of that means? An EVM equivalent L1 builder. I know what an L1 means. I should have looked some of that up. That's a shame. But
maybe tell ChatGPT to break it down for us.
That's a great idea. You want me to do it right now? Let's see.
Sure.
All right. Okay. No, I won't do it. I'll do it while we're talking about something else. We talked about OpenSea being possibly acquired. This is an article I found I thought was interesting. You ever heard of the Undead Apes?
No.
I had not heard of
it. I feel like
either.
Every time you ask me if I know something, I'm like, no.
I know. I should probably stop asking. I had not heard of them either, but supposedly there was a dude that rugged them, and he got arrested, and his name is Devin Allen Roden. He pretended to be affiliated with the Stoned Ape crew, and then they were like, well, he's not affiliated with us, and like everyone started looking into it. He's a U.S. Air Force veteran data analyst, and he put out this project, and him and his wife bought a house for like $300,000 with the money, and now he is arrested. Oh. So don't rug an NFT project. Folks.
Wow. Serious out here. Okay. Actually, I did recognize a word when you said that sentence. SDK. Because actually, this kind of ties in nicely. At Evaluate, we just came out with our Evaluate SDK, which is basically, you know how, first of all, if you guys have ever been to evaluate.xyz, you can live swap or even just build offers and swap your flow NFTs. So we built this SDK where now other projects, marketplaces, games, at first just on flow, but we are potentially going to open it up to other blockchains, can essentially integrate trading onto their site directly. So yeah, we built out this SDK where we can just go and build out a little trading tool. It's like a swapping tool. So your community members can swap their NFTs and they can also chat with each other. So yeah, social trading may be coming to a project near you. But yeah, so that's the one thing I recognize was SDK. Cause I'm like, oh yeah, we just launched our SDK.
So an SDK is a software development kit. It's a collection of software tools and libraries. Developers use to create applications for software. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I got a lot from ChatGPT here. An EVM equivalent L1. EVM stands for Ethereum Virtual Machine, which is a runtime environment for smart contracts in the Ethereum blockchain. An EVM equivalent means a system that is compatible with or similar to EVM. It's built on the Cosmos SDK. It's a decentralized network of independent parallel blocks. I mean, this is still all too smart for me. I need to explain it like I'm a fifth grader. I should tell it.
Well, remember last time we did that and they still explained it like that? We're like,
explain all that to me like I'm a fifth grader. Imagine you want to build a really cool Lego castle. Now you could try, oh my God. Now you try to make each Lego brick from scratch, but that'd be really hard. It's awesome.
Remember that show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Yes.
And they were like so smart. It was ridiculous.
There's some smart kids out there, no doubt. There are some genius kids. So what else is going on? Magic Eden announced they're going to have a cross-chain wallet, which will actually be really cool. ETH, Bitcoin, Solana, you can just trade whatever you want, da-da-da. I guess they do the swaps in-house, whatever. Make it easy. Really smart. They're doing really smart stuff. And especially,
you could swap your like Flow NFTs. So
I think
ETH
basically NFTs. You'll probably have, yeah, like, well, not even swap. I think you can just like the currency you have in that wallet, you'll be able to just buy, you know.
Oh, I could buy
any NFT. And then if you sell, like if you sell your Solana, then you can buy a Bitcoin NFT with that money without having to like send
how
it to another wallet and swap it around.
That's
interesting. Know. We had them on, you know, early before they're a lot cooler now.
Yeah, we had them probably a year ago.
Yeah, they were really smart. I was impressed. I remember it was a really good interview.
Yeah. Yeah, and I remember that was the first time that I choked on my intro and I messed up the very beginning. And I was like, we got to start back again.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, we're so glad you messed up because now we're less nervous. And I was like, what? Why would they be nervous at all?
Yeah. No, that was good. That was a good one. That was definitely a good one. I didn't know what to expect, but they were cool.
Oh, yeah. Episode 92. You guys, check it out.
Wow. And this is 199, Jenny.
Oh, yeah. We're episode 199. That's right. Our next one is 200.
Ooh.
Exciting.
Yep. All right. I'm moving over to Crypto Slam. Let's see. NFT collection rankings by sales volume over the last 7 days. And we have an old favorite back at number one for the first time in a while. The CryptoPunks are number one.
Wow. Taking back their crown.
Pretty cool. Uncategorized ordinals are number two. Fraganas on Solana are number three with 7.1 million in volume. That's pretty cool. Dokio on Avalanche is now consistently in the top 10. I got to be honest, I don't know one thing about that. So I'm going to take a peek into Dokio this week. I don't know anything about Avalanche. I know some artists on there. I know some stuff's happening, but haven't dug into it. There's two random Bitcoin things like $GBTS and $LIGO, which of course I don't know what that stuff is. The crypto undeads on Solana is number seven. That was a super hype mint. There's a tiny bit of controversy with how the allow list went down, but they made good on it. I think they actually spent a lot of money buying the floor to get people NFTs that needed them. And it's holding it like a decent floor of something like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Solana, which is, you know, a good amount of money. It's a very pixelated project. There's some, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the art, but maybe as if it gets more expensive, the art will look a little better.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yep. Number eight, Gods Unchained, Mutable X hanging in there.
Back at
Number nine, D Market, another gaming thing. And number 10 is Gas Heroes, which we actually came across last week when Gas Heroes was like four out of the top 10. So the final theirs are three gaming things. Then 11's Pudgy, 12 is Doodles.
So Doodles, making a comeback.
Number 12, 3.1 million in volume. I wonder how much royalties they collect. That's all on chain. We could see how.
Oh, how much? Yeah. I mean, well, now that royalties aren't enforced, I mean.
Right. I'm just wondering how much is actually coming to them, but I think that's on chain.
True.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess that's all the topics we have for this week, folks. Thank you for tuning in to episode 199. And we will see you guys on, or we will not see you guys, but we will be back for episode 200 of the NFT Catcher podcast. Catch y'all on the next one. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Sudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Los. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace.